So if I was to look at the obvious theme or themes that exist in the readings for this weekend, I think the first one would have to be rejection. And we look at Jeremiah, the first reading, then we look at Paul, and then we look at Luke and Jesus' events in Nazareth, and all of them involved in person or in practice, rejection. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He never wanted to be a prophet to help guide Israel. He never felt worthy, and he struggled in his relationship with God over that all the way through his life. Eventually, Jeremiah, as happened with all of the great prophets, he was led by his people down to Egypt, and eventually he was stoned to death. St. Paul, we know that Paul ended up in Rome. The first part, he rejected Christ. As you know, we had a couple of weeks ago St. Paul's conversion on the way to Damascus. He rejected Christ, was witnessing and promoted the death of Stephen, the first martyr, then had his conversion experience, and then he, in time, experienced rejection himself. He went on to be known as the apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, and his own Jewish people rejected him. Paul, however, was a Roman citizen. And so when it came to dealing with him, he was not crucified or stoned. He was actually beheaded. But that was a Roman thing. So he was rejected by the Romans. And for the first part of his career too, he was also rejected by his own people. The ones who did take up Paul's word were actually the non-Jews, which leads us into the gospel from Luke at this time. Luke wrote his whole gospel to non-Jews, to the Gentiles, whereas the other gospels, Mark and Matthew, not John, but Mark and Matthew, were specifically written for Jewish audiences in the main, but not Luke. Luke was written for Gentiles. So it's not surprising then today that we have rejection being put in the foreground of Luke's presentation. Jesus is in Nazareth. He has not gone to Capernaum yet. He has not cured anybody yet. And Luke has blurred the chronology there a little bit. He's referring to things that are going to happen down the track, because by the time he put his gospel together, the people knew these things had happened. So what Luke does is he puts Jesus back in Nazareth, and you remember the gospel from last week. He went into the synagogue, they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he read the scroll, and it begins today where we left off last week. These things are being fulfilled as you listen. So that was directly from Isaiah. And then Luke inserts the miracle events of healing, he alludes to them rather. And then Jesus quotes from Isaiah. A physician heal thyself, and a prophet is never accepted in his own town. Now, they're two direct quotes from Isaiah, and they lead us into the rejection theme again. Jesus is in Nazareth, his hometown. Now, the custom in ancient Mediterranean, that part of the world, Mediterranean, life in society was that a son would follow the role of his father. Joseph was a carpenter, so therefore Jesus would be expected of him to follow in the carpentry footsteps. To do anything less or other than that was actually to bring dishonor upon Joseph. Joseph would have taken up where his father left off. And you could bet that the tools that Joseph used in his hand day-to-day work would have been his father's. And I have been to the Middle East several times, and there's one place that I always go to get gifts from the Palestinian Christians so I can help support their community. And when I first went back there 20-something years ago, there was an old man had his business there. And then when I've been back since, that old man has died. And it doesn't surprise me. It is his son and the old man's son and the old man's grandson that now have taken over the business. Now, that might not seem surprising to many of you here who may have had the same thing happen in your own families, but it was an issue of honour in Jesus' community and that part of the world at that time. So that was the first rejection that Jesus suffered, was that he was among people who knew him very well. Nazareth was a very small place. They will have been, for the main part, his relations. And so they thought they knew him, but they actually didn't. And that was Luke's point. The rejection comes because Jesus is in his own country and he's opening up the mercy of God to his own people, and they cannot accept him because they think they know him. So he is rejected. And eventually he slips away. And he moves then into Capernaum, where he starts to heal. So it's important for us to remember that the purpose of the gospel is to wisen us up, and it is to strengthen our relationship with God and with neighbour. That's where love comes into it. Second reading, Paul there. But that's what the gospel purpose was. So Luke's gospel was to wisen up the Gentiles, to affirm them in the mystery and the ministry which they were now involved. And that was love of God through Jesus Christ. And with the experience of the Holy Spirit, Luke is going to bring those three and embed them together. So rejection is very, very strong in the readings this weekend. But some of you will know that if you've ever had your heart broken, it is probably because you were rejected for some reason. Or you may have rejected somebody else and broke somebody else's heart. If I'm to talk about rejection and intertwine it with love. Very often, love and rejection go together. Love is not what is reflected in many movies and musicals and songs and things. Love is actually quite a painful experience for the majority of people. The day-to-day loving of a husband and wife is not a day on the beach. The day-to-day loving of a husband and wife, for the main part, from what I have experienced in life with the people that I've lived and worked with, is it's a real struggle at times to begin the day by acknowledging and loving you, and to end the day by acknowledging and loving you. Some people get there, others do not, as you would all be aware. It is hard work, is love. It is not that beautiful painting. It can be, but for the main part, for all of you gathered here, as you love your children and your grandchildren, they displease you in other ways. That does not mean you do not love them. It simply means my love is so intense for you that I actually hurt. And it may that be that we feel some sense of rejection. The values that we want to give to our children and pass on to the next generation, you don't seem to be taking up. That is a rejection. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He was rejected by his own people. But God's purpose is not thwarted by rejection. Not at all. Because if that were the case, Jeremiah would not have been successful. St. Paul would not have been successful. Jesus would not have been successful in God's purpose. And we know that Jesus was successful because you're actually here. And we're about to break bread together, as he did with his disciples who rejected him. So we're not in a new experience or new ground. We are following in a challenging tradition that is part of human nature, and it is part of the Christian course, and therefore it is part of God's purpose. And many of us do struggle with understanding what God's purpose is. But when we put God first, and God is love, and then ourselves after that, things fall into place. When we put ourselves first and misplace God's presence in our life, then there is very often great anxiety and great pain. We, particularly in the Western world, like to think that we are so in charge of our life. And we get greatly disappointed when things don't go our way, when our love gets challenged. And you could tell many more stories about that than I can, probably, especially for those of you that have been in intimate relationships. During my little sojourn away, I read a book by an Australian author who some of you may know. His name is Trent Dalton. He's I think he's won the Walkley Journalist Award a couple of times. Trent has taken a couple of months out of his life. He set up a little table that he bought at Bunnings, put two little chairs, a chair either side of it, and set it up in the main mall, walking mall of Brisbane. And he put a little sign in front of the table that just said something along the lines of curious writer wanting to hear love stories. And he waited, and people actually came to him over the couple of months and just dropped in and told them their story of love. And it's a very quick read, only short little chapters, because each one is someone's life. He changes the name for some, but in essence, they basically tell him what their understanding of love is. And within those pages, there's a lot of pain, there's quite a lot of laughter, there's some curiosity, there's a lot of joy as well, but there's also a lot of mystery in there. And one of the stories of love, to tie this together a little bit on how the world helps us understand love and bear the pain of love, was this chap was born blind, and he's with his wife. And Trent Dalton is taking down notes on this old typewriter, actually. It's a very current book. And he says, Trent says to the blind man, he says, "Do you have any regrets about being blind?" And he said, "I think the only regret that I might have is that I have never seen the face of my beautiful wife." And they'd been married, I think, nearly 40 years. "I'd never seen the face of my beautiful wife." And Trenton starts to get a little bit moist in the eyes, and he could see that the blind man was as well. And then Trent looks over at the wife, and then he looks back at the blind man. He says, I won't use his name, "I can tell you that your wife is absolutely beautiful." And then the blind man responds by saying, "I don't need my eyesight to know that." And that's the depth of love. There is pain, there is some anxiety in there, but the overwhelming dependence on the other, no matter what happens, as the second reading says, we go beyond all the things that pull us up in life, because that individual that I love, these individuals that I love, they have changed my life. This world that I am in, it has changed my life. It's a very good read, and it's my interpretation there, but it's almost word for word the conversation between the blind man and Trent. But I will close in saying what I've really thought about while I was away and reflecting on quite a bit of stuff. I used to think, as a young bloke, I used to think that I could change the world. I truly did. And then, as I got a bit older, I started to realise that it's Jesus who uses the world to change me. So I used to think that I would change the world, and then all of a sudden my eyes started to open up and I realised that Jesus takes whatever is in my world and it helps change me. It helps bring me to be a better lover.